What up, y'all? Welcome to today's episode. We are continuing our 10-day unlearning series to welcome in the new year of 2021. Today, we are exploring overthinking and self-sabotage. Now, really, overthinking is a form of self-sabotage. I believe we will dig into all of that. This was recorded live in our private Facebook group, Unconventional Leaders, so the audio is not on point, but the content is fire. Make sure you head over to Facebook, join our group if you have not done so yet. Over 5,000 incredible unconventional leaders as of this recording. But let's go ahead and get into this. Let's break some mediocrity in our lives, address the self-sabotage that is holding us back, and unlearn some things.
I've always felt immense.
I was born with several palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
Hi, y'all. It is day three of our unlearning series that we're doing to ring in the new year. Who is ready for a new year? Who's scared to have a new year? I'm not. I'm ready just to stop writing 2020 because it has such a bad stigma on it. But going into the new year, I wanted to join you in a conversation around 10 limiting beliefs that we may have, be fully aware that we have, and maybe not so much, right? But it's pointless putting a whole bunch of goals on our list, our resolutions, and I'm all about some goals and resolutions, trust me. But it's pointless spending tons and tons of time planning for a new year and thinking about all the things that you want to accomplish without addressing a lot of the internal issues that hold us back. Because this is the truth. Even if we accomplish all those things on that list, if we haven't dealt with some of the limiting beliefs that we have, we're not going to be happy. Right? How many miserable, successful people do you personally know? How many of you have accomplished certain things and realized it wasn't that great, right? I'm all about accomplishment and I'm all about ambition. Trust me. But what is our source of success? What is our source of happiness and well-being? And is it possible to climb and get to the top without losing your mind in the process? You know what I'm saying? So today we're going to be talking about overthinking and self-sabotage, which honestly, overthinking is a form of self-sabotage. But I wanted to put it in a title because so many people bring up overthinking when I talked about doing this series. So I clumped them together because honestly, well, let's be real. You could say all the things we're talking about over the next 10 days are a form of self-sabotage. But... let's talk about what it is. And this was crazy because you guys, I put up a little survey thing and this topic by far was the most popular out of all of them. I wonder why that is. I put the subtitle of this episode, because it's going to be a podcast episode, is a vow to break mediocrity. It's a vow to break mediocrity because what's keeping us in that space of gray, that lukewarm space, is usually a form of self-sabotage, right? I found this on theblissfulmind.com. Some signs that you might be self-sabotaging. Overthinking, right? But this website says overplanning. Do you overplan? Do you have tons and tons of notes, tons of folders, tons of ideas? Everything's color-coded, but you haven't executed yet? Anybody in the back? Here's another form of self-sabotaging. Say that 25 times real fast. I'm not saying 10, 25, and I promise you you'll stumble. Searching for inspiration. I just don't feel inspired. I don't feel inspired right now to create. Marvin's in here. I don't feel inspired to make videos. Seth Godin, who I interviewed 1 year ago this month, said that the difference between a hobbyist and a professional is when they can create without inspiration, right? A professional does not wait for inspiration. So why do we allow the lack of inspiration to keep us from being consistent in our work? Another sign of self-sabotage is lack of consistency, right? Because I can't create things, I can't show up, I can't do this if it's not perfectly planned. I can't do it if I'm not inspired. I can't do it if I don't feel like it. Another form of self-sabotage, putting yourself in a box. Well, I can't do that. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. I'm not somebody who goes live on Facebook. I'm not somebody who downloads new apps and tries new things. Nope. There's so many forms of self-sabotage. Comment. Let me know what your tendency, your bent towards self-sabotage. For me, it's definitely, I think Ed commented this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about self-sabotage. I think he said overthinking your content and being too worried about what people think of you. I think that's always been my crutch, is worried too much about coming across this way or that, acceptance, not doing things because I don't want to offend people or hurt their feelings, saying yes too much when I shouldn't be saying yes, or not saying no, or whatever it may be. Me being so worried about other people is my own form of self-sabotage, okay? I'm pretty consistent. I don't plan very well. Y'all know that. And I'm pretty much live my life inspired. But I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that's held me back, it's worried about what Uncle Johnny thinks. I actually do have an Uncle Johnny. I should have used another example. Not him, I don't even know him. What is your form of self-sabotage? We all have it. So there are three ideas that I wanna share with you, and I want you to share your ideas with me, comment and let us know. And if you're listening to the podcast episode after this, just text me. It's in the show notes, text me and let me know what you think. But number one with self-sabotage is recognize that the thing that you think is the thing, it's not the thing. Y'all write that down. The thing that you think is the thing is not really the thing. You think it's that you haven't planned enough. You think it's that you're worried about what Uncle Johnny thinks. You think that it's this or that or whatever. But really, that's not the real issue. The real issue is something underneath all of that. For you and for me, it's that we're scared, right? Something is threatening our safety, our sense of belonging, and it's scary as hell. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to be afraid. I think when we can just call it for what it is, that's when we can start working through it, not overcoming it, not beating it. Right? Overcome and beat. I don't know if we can ever overcome and beat this crap. I think what we can do is figure out how to move in the midst of it, right? So the thing that you think is the issue keeping you back often isn't. It's usually a deep-rooted fear. This comes from Bob Goff. I was reading in his latest book, Dream Big. He says, not a single person pursues their ambitions without having to face the moments in their past that have influenced their beliefs and deciding what they will do about them. Not a single person who pursues something great, something outside of themselves, does not have to face their past and address some issues. No, Hillary, I just need a new course. I need a new branding course. I need a new funnel. I need a new hack. Hack. I love doing hacks. I need this. No. Maybe. Cool. But that's like the salt and pepper. That's not the meat and the potatoes, because the real work is dealing with all of our crap. I have clients who have launched five-figure launches on free, outside of paying me and like a VA, free platforms, the free trials. You know what I mean? Like, you can do some amazing stuff without having to buy all the things. I'm not against buying all the things, but again, the thing that we think is the thing is not the thing. It's the crap inside of us, right? Here's a very personal example, guys. This is very, very personal to me, but I'm going to be vulnerable to you, because what are we doing here if we're not, right? When I first married Brian, okay, and then this is getting out of the business, this is going into relationships, I had, you know, just been on a breaking up with guys. I date them and break up with them. And I was not an easy person when he met me to date, because I had so much pain from some things that had happened to me that I was just so terribly afraid to let anybody get close to me. So I would just find these things about these poor guys that I was dating. They were good people. And just break up with them. Right? I was self-sabotaging myself in these relationships because I was displacing so much pain and hurt from some things that had happened to me onto these innocent dudes, right? And here comes Brian. And I broke up with him like 4 times. Those of you who don't know, he's my husband now. We've been married almost 10 years. Two kids. Great human. But I broke up with him constantly. I get mad at him. I break up with him. Just break up. We break up. Okay. He was so persistent. And finally, the day that it hit me, what I was doing was actually after we had gotten married, because I was still pushing and resisting even, you know, getting close to him, even after we were married. It was just this big issue. And I didn't really understand why. I would always think it was him, or maybe I'm just not the type of person to be close to people, blah, blah, blah. And then when it hit me, the day that it hit me was, and I don't think I've ever publicly shared this before. It's embarrassing, but it's true. We were watching Walk the Line, the movie about, who's that man? Y'all help me out. I can't remember his name. Johnny Cash. I remembered this, but I couldn't remember his name. Johnny Cash walked the line. And about midway through the movie, here's a spoiler alert. Johnny Cash leaves his wife for another woman and leaves his family and leaves his two little girls. And it's just this whole thing. I looked over at Brian when all this stuff was going on in the movie. And I said, what do you think about this movie? I was tricking him. And he said, oh, this is a good movie. And I immediately got so angry with him. And I started crying and being really upset. He's like, oh, shoot. Who did I marry? What is wrong with this woman? And it was this big ordeal. It was like an hour, 2 hour thing where I was just crying and I was upset that he liked this movie. And he's like, I don't understand why you're mad at me that I like this movie. You wanted to watch this movie. What's wrong with y'all know when y'all get upset, y'all don't know why. Hour two into it, after getting mad at him, getting angry, making it about the movie, I realized that I identified with that little girl in the movie who had all this stuff happen to her. And there was a whole bunch of mommy daddy issues that I had in my heart. And I was displacing all of that on my poor husband. And I started to realize, I'm like, this has nothing to do with all the people you've dated. This has nothing to do with Brian. This has to do with some past deep wounds in your heart that you have got to start healing, or you're never going to be happy. Ever. Now that's heavy, right? That is a super heavy thing. But this is what we do in our lives. This is what I do. This is what you do. Is we make the thing we think is the thing, and we don't understand that there's something else deeper in there, that there's some old wounds that need healing, right? I had a client a couple of weeks ago. You know, we were really working through this launch she's going through, and she was, you know, what if it doesn't work out, blah, blah, blah. And we had to really ask the question, well, what does it really mean about you if it doesn't work, right? Because again, if a relationship doesn't work, or a launch fails, or you show up and, you know, build your podcast or your business or whatever and it flops, what does that really mean about you, right? And we have got to get to a very secure place within ourselves and bring, you know, allow healing and connect with God and source and heal some of these internal wounds. Because when failure happens, when breakups happen, when launches don't work, when all these things that we're so afraid of, that we're trying to avoid by planning and procrastinating and doing all this stuff, when all that inevitable stuff comes, no matter how much we try to, you know, self-sabotage, we cannot be shaken, right? We might be upset, it might be hard, but the core of who we are is not going to be shaken. So I have 3 points. That was point number one, that the thing is not the thing that we think is the thing. I'm saying that wrong. But number two is that realizing that all this stuff, it takes time to heal, but it doesn't have to control us. It doesn't have to predict our futures, where we go in life. It doesn't have to have a hold on us. You know, I'm still healing and processing through some stuff from like years and years ago. And I'm not necessarily sure, you know, how long that's going to take or if it ever happens, but learning how, again, I've said this over and over again, moving in the midst of it and not allowing it to control you. Bob Goff, another quote that I love that he said in this book, is fears don't get fully conquered. Let me say it again, fears don't get fully conquered. They become understood and given less power. I have a fear of rejection. I'll tell you that right now. That's like one of the hardest things for me to deal with because of some stuff that's happened in my past. Before, being left and being rejected is so hard for me. It's still there. What I'm working on right now is noticing that when it comes up, and not allowing it to control me. Like, I see you. I see that that's hard for you, Heather. I see that it's weird for you to, you know, show up and say y'all and wear Converses and, you know, try to be, you know, whatever it may be, like a grown up online, being a mom and all this, but still being quirky and weird, like all that. There's so much weirdness around that. But the more I'm trying to lean into, I've got to put this mouse down. The more I'm trying to lean into who Heather is intentionally, all that rejection and that fear is still there. Just figuring out how does it not control me, right? This is a really powerful quote that I read, and we're gonna be wrapping up here in a second, but Russell Brand, I don't really even know who he is, but I heard it on YouTube, so I wrote it down. He said, watch your patterns. I see my pattern of wanting to overplan. I see my pattern of wanting to overthink things. I notice my pattern that I'm a perfectionist about stuff or that I struggle with. I notice this pattern. What is it? Okay. It's not a negative thing. It's an inner voice that wants to be heard. It's an inner voice that wants to be heard. What is this trying to tell me? My issue, what I was telling you about earlier with relationships and allowing people to get close to me, instead of being like, oh, that's terrible, I need to fight it. What is this trying to tell me? I needed to forgive some people in my life. I needed to let go of some things and heal wounds that were 20 years old. Okay? So it's not necessarily a negative thing. What is it trying to tell you? This awareness is an opportunity for us to heal. Awareness is an opportunity for us to do the inner work, right? And the way that we can be brave enough, because this is courage, y'all. It doesn't take courage to plow through stuff and just do things and grit our way through it without doing some of the inner work. That's not courage. That's avoidance. And that's a form of fear as well, right? But really being honest with ourselves about some of these deeper rooted issues that are underlying our drive, that are underlying our self-sabotage, our overthinking and all that, that's the real work. That's freaking courage. And you want to talk about somebody who becomes unstoppable is people who have faced their demons and figured out how to not allow this crap to control them. Okay, so number three, and we'll wrap up with this. So just to kind of recap, we talked about the thing that we think is the thing is not the thing. I love that point. That's why I'm not a preacher, y'all, because nobody come to my church because I cuss and I make confusing points. Plus, I don't like praise and worship, most praise and worship songs. Can I say that? Number two, realize that beliefs take a while to unravel, but they don't have to control us. And number three, while we're unraveling some of these beliefs, while we're working through these inner demons, while we're doing that, we've got to start rewiring our brain for what is considered normal. Who needs a new normal in their life, right? But we're looking for evidence all the time for what's possible, and we're pulling from our experiences, and we're pulling from what's in front of our face right now. So surrounding ourselves with people who are further down the road than us, who are more courageous than us, who might be more spiritual, who might be more in tune, we've got to constantly show our brains new evidence. And the analogy that I want to use with this is, if you think about a child, when you were a child and you were terrified of something, and your guardian, your person, you're like, I don't want to go down the water slide. Oh my God. What did the grown up in your life do? They pull you close and they would allow you to watch those other kids going down the water slide. Look, there's cousin Joe. He's going down the slide. Look, there's cousin Sally. She's going down the slide. And you're like, And he would start crying less. And you would start watching a little bit more. It would take time, but you needed to see evidence that this was freaking possible. And eventually that grip, that bear grip that you had on that adult would slowly start to release. And you'd be walking your proud booty up there and going down the slide yourself, right? Because it was freaking evidence. It took some time, but there was evidence. So how can we bring evidence into our lives that some of this stuff that we hope is possible can be, okay? So I have three assignments for all of us, myself included, to do this year. I'm giving y'all lots of assignments every day, but you know what? I think we can handle it because we're unconventional leaders, right? Number one, going back to our first point, the thing is not the thing. It's time for us to forgive some people in our past, y'all. It's time for us to start forgiving some people and allowing that memory, allowing that pain to not hold us prisoner anymore, and allow it to hold us captive where our dreams, our ambitions are in a prison because of something else, right? Now, I believe that healing comes from God. It can come from, you know, therapy, the inner work, whatever way it may be. But starting to really seek healing this year, I think is going to be so important for us as ambitious, goal-oriented type A leaders. It is a strength. Number two is I want you guys to really find evidence in your life that all of the things that you're afraid that isn't true, you know, I'm not worthy, I can't accomplish this, this is too much for somebody who doesn't have an education, this is too much for somebody who doesn't have money, I could never accomplish these things because I don't have the network, I don't have this, I don't have that. Let's find evidence for why that's not true, okay? One of the masterminds I was in a couple of years ago, I think it was Jenny Thompson from this group, she was in our mastermind, and she did this thing on Pinterest where, now, I'm on Pinterest, but I don't really do Pinterest because Pinterest makes me nervous because they got all those people in there doing those crafts that I can't do. But anyway, you can make a folder on your desktop. You can have a private Pinterest board. But anytime you get a nice note from somebody or you see something that really moves you to your core and encourages you that your dreams are possible, screenshot that mother and save it in your evidence folder on your computer. Why do I have this again? On your Pinterest board. And whenever you're feeling discouraged, go back to those evidence. Read those notes from people who said something to you that you would otherwise forget. Pull up the stories of the people who were just like you who made it. Be intentional for finding evidence that what you dream of, what you believe is freaking possible, and put it in front of your face every single stinking day, because we can't trust our emotions and our thoughts, because again, these are deep wired things that we have to rewire and be intentional about, right? And lastly, identify the change makers in your life. I'm gonna do a dance because that made me so happy. Identify the change makers in your life. Who are the people that you know that are going to hold you accountable? Who are the people that you know who are going to call you out on your bull crap and say, y'all, nope, not today, devil. That's upset. Not calling you devil, that'd be rude. Don't. But recognizing the self-sabotage in your life. Like Sharon said earlier, join a mastermind group. Find some friends. Call up that person who you know is a mover and a shaker, who you might be intimidated by, but you know you need in your life. Identify those people going into this new year and butt your way into that circle. You see the circle at the party and you're like, should I go talk to those people? Hell yeah, you should. Like, make room for you at the table, my friends. How about that, y'all? I would love to hear from you. What do you think about this topic of self-sabotage? Send me a text message and let me know. It is 501-214-4307. Again, that is 501-214-4307. We love you. We're in your corner. See you soon.